Me okay, everybody in the back and everything, volume's good. Okay, good. While the kids are leaving, thank you, junior church workers, by the way, for the ministry that you have with these little ones. Yesterday I was preaching on the east side of the prison at Carson City. It's just a great time. I used to be kind of scared to go in there. Now I kind of look forward to it. There's such an inspiring joy and enthusiasm when those men gather for worship. I just finished preaching a message called Jesus Genie, Jesus Lord, from Mark chapter 10. And, you know, 5 or 10 minutes after that, most of the inmates had left the room. There were probably 6 or 8 of them remaining. And Scott and I, Scott, he goes to a different church. None of you here know him. He's from Mount Pleasant, but he's involved in our ministry team there. We were just ready to exit the meeting room when one of the inmates approached me. I recognized the face, but I couldn't remember his name. So I asked him, "What's your name again?" And he said, "John." And I recognized him as one of the very consistent attender, and he kind of impressed me as one of the more solid believers. He was kind of a leader in the services in the church that meets there. But with a smile on his face, he said to me, "Pastor Jerry, I'd ask that you would remember to pray for me. I'm being released on Tuesday." And I said, "Wow, that is awesome, John. I'm really happy for you." And then I asked him, "How long have you been here anyway?" And he said, "17 years. After 17 years, John was going home to Kansas. So his family and friends aren't even local here, so I don't even know how often he would have the opportunity for a visit or anything like that. 17 years. And I said, "Well, I'll tell you what, John, I'll pray for you, but I'm going to pray for you right now." So I grabbed his hand, and we bowed to pray. And it was kind of neat because when I started to pray, it was just John and I standing there together. And afterward, when I opened my eyes, there were like about 4 other guys who had surrounded John as we prayed for his freedom. His freedom in Christ to overwhelm and sanctify his physical freedom. Because that's a tough thing for a guy that's had basically his day planned out by somebody else every day for 17 years. All of a sudden, I got options. I got choices to make. So we prayed together, and the realization just kind of overwhelmed me as I walked out the door and across the yard that I'd probably never see this brother in the Lord again this side of eternity. That was this past Saturday. Later on this past week, I was thinking of John again. And, you know, I don't even know the crime that he committed that cost him 17 years of freedom. I never asked him. But I do think I know this, that John never planned on spending almost 2 decades locked up. As a young man, I don't think John ever set the purpose and goal of his life saying, "You know, when I grow up, I want to go to prison for a good long time." Nobody does that. And so the question that I bring to you today is, how does that happen? How does life, not just for John, but for us also, seem to kind of spiral out of control and land us in destinations that we never intended on going? You know, babies, for example, aren't born with parents planning to physically abuse them. Marriage licenses aren't applied for with couples planning on eventual divorce. Alcohol is not consumed with the goal of becoming an alcoholic. Pornography isn't viewed with the intention that it's going to consume and ruin my relationships and my life. I mean, have you ever heard somebody say, "How did I end up here? You know, I don't know how it came to this." I think really, truth be told, we've all experienced unintended destinations in our lives, outcomes. I know I have. You know, I've never been to prison, but I've ended up in places I didn't want to be many times. And I think probably if I asked you, how about you, you could share in the affirmative as well. So we're going to look today, just for today and next week, as we head into our Easter series on shame after that, we're going to look at this message entitled The Principles of the Path. It's inspired by a message I heard at the Biblical Counseling Conference a few weeks ago. And it's basically centered in Proverbs chapters 1 through 9. So if you're looking for a place to read this week, if you don't have a reading plan, I would encourage you to read through Proverbs chapter 1 through 9. I just love the book of Proverbs. Actually, on Monday, I sat down and I read Proverbs 1 through 9 in one sitting in preparation for this, just to kind of just let it run through my mind. And I cut and pasted every passage in those nine chapters that had to do with life as a path. Use the illustration of a path or a journey, a walk, a way to walk. And I found 20 passages in those nine chapters and over 54 verses that had to do with this illustrative theme. Now, many of you know that Proverbs is a poetic book of wisdom written by King Solomon to his son. It is, when you read Proverbs, you got to understand that these are general truths. That generally speaking, this is the way life works, this is the way life goes. They're certainly not etched in stone. There certainly are exceptions to these, but they're general truths. And in Proverbs, Solomon passionately counsels his son as to the direction, as to the path, as to the way of wisdom in his life. And he just pleads with him basically to keep to that path. Let me give you some examples in some of these passages of what I'm talking about. First of all, in regards to wickedness, right away in chapter 1, verse 15, Solomon says, "My son, do not go along with them," meaning the wicked. And then he says this, "Do not set foot," what, church? "On their paths." Again, in Proverbs 2, verse 12, he says, "Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse, who leave the," what, church? "The straight paths to walk in dark ways, who delight in wrongdoing and rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose," what? "Whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways." In regards to God himself, he writes in Proverbs 2, "He," meaning God, "guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones." Then he says, "You will understand what is right and just and fair," and finish it with me, "every good path." It's just a recurring theme here. Perhaps one of the most extensive in Proverbs 1 through 9, extensive uses of this illustration is in chapter 4 from 11 through 19. Follow along with me as I read. He says, "I guide you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not," what? "You will not stumble. Hold on to instruction. Don't let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life." Do you hear the passion in his counsel? "Do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go on your way. For they cannot sleep till they do evil. They're robbed of slumber till they make someone fall. They eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence." Verse 18, "The path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness." And this part just grabs my heart. What does it say? "They do not know what makes them stumble." Man, you know, I taught for a lot of years, and I saw a lot of students come through there. And so much of the time, I'd come saying, "Man, they just don't know. They keep the same attitude, the same actions, and they don't know." And for a while, I often thought, "Wow, you know, depending on your past experience, if the home you're raised in, their experience of, if that's all you've ever known, if you've never had a taste, let's say, of unconditional love, of sacrificial love, you don't even know it exists. So to live life according to what you've experienced and in relationships, you don't know. You don't know there's something different. They do not know what makes them stumble. This illustration of a path is used frequently in regards to sexual sin as well. And by the way, Matt, thank you so much for your openness and courage to share, and Red as well. You guys, that's just awesome. And it just really encourages me to see your courage in sharing that testimony today. But Proverbs 5 warns against the adulterous woman, saying, listen to this, her feet go down to death, her steps lead straight to the grave. And look what it says, she gives no thought to the way of life. Her paths are crooked, but what? There it is again, she knows it not. She knows it not. Now then, my sons, listen to me. Do not turn aside from what I say. Keep to a path far from her. Do not go near the door of her house. And my last example here, and again, this is just a taste of what's in Proverbs chapters 1 through 9. My last example warns us of the lie we sometimes believe that we can just kind of do our own thing and get away with hidden sin. Proverbs 5:21, it says, for a man's ways are in full view of the Lord, and he examines all his paths. That should strike the fear of God into you, huh? God knows. The evil deeds of a wicked man do what? They ensnare him. They tangle you up. They grab on. They won't let go. The cords of his sin hold him fast. He will die for lack of discipline. Led astray by his own great folly. So life as a journey, you hearing me? As a path, as a walk, is a tremendously powerful theme as Solomon uses this illustration to disciple his son with great passion. So as we begin here today, what are some principles of the path that's going to give some light to our own tendency to end up in places we never intended on going? How does that happen? Well, I have six of them I want to share with you. I'm just going to give you the first couple today. But I think this first one is actually like the fifth one in my list, but I wanted to share it first. This first one I think is the most powerful, and it was the most eye-openingly revolutionary to me. And that principle is this. Your words do not determine your destination. Your walk does. Your words do not determine your destination. Your walk does. Let's beat that around here just a little bit. You know, people may say that they're on the right path, but what they do determines that path and leads inexorably toward a destination. Are you hearing me? And we see this in the most general sense all the time. I think you and I both have heard, and maybe you and I have been guilty of this sometimes. People say, well, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. And then as you observe the fruit, observe the way they talk, the things they desire, the things they obsess over, the things they think about, the things they do, and every choice of thought or desire or action has nothing to do with Jesus at all. See, the thoughts, the desires, and the actions are the paths. Are the paths being chosen to walk on? Are you hearing me? The words, I'm a Christian, mean very little. So people do this all the time. They speak of a given path and destination, but walk on a different one. Let me illustrate how this path can lead us to places that we don't intend to go. I need a volunteer, a fella. Can somebody volunteer? I'm going to pick somebody. It's not like you got to be scared. I'm not going to put you on the, well, I'm actually going to put you on the spot, but just this spot right here. Anybody? Thanks, Kurt. Come on down here, buddy. Right here. I want you to stand right here. Thanks, my friend. Good man. All right, here we go. I want you to repeat after me, okay? You ready? I want to have a godly marriage.
I want to have a godly marriage.
Awesome. Cool. Now, let this path right here, going this way, is the path to a godly marriage. You got me? All right. Now, this is the path right here to to an ungodly marriage. Now, we're just using this as an example, all right? There are so many other different examples that we could use. Now, say it again. I want to have a godly marriage.
I want to have a godly marriage.
All right. Okay, now, we're going to pretend that you're a single guy, all right? You're not married to your lovely wife, Darcy. You have no children, okay? Darcy, so this is, we're just, he has two children. We're pretending, no offense, Kyler and Corey, that we're using our imaginations right now. You're a single guy with no kids, okay?
All right.
So you go to work. He's into it. Okay. Yeah, he's getting into character. And you meet this girl at work, all right? Okay. Well, you may not want to say that when I'm done. Now, you come to find out, you might want to withdraw that. She's not a Christian. Okay, it's not Darcy, because she is a believer. She's not a Christian, and you claim to be one, but you decide that, you know, you're kind of attracted to her, so you're going to invest your time and soul in getting to know this gal, okay? Against the warnings of being unequally yoked that we find in 2 Corinthians 6. Now, say it again. I want to have a godly marriage.
I want to have a godly marriage.
Okay, this is the path there, but you're going to take a step this way. Big step, okay? Bigger now, right there. Okay. All right. Now, as you get to know this gal a little bit more and more, you give in to a level of physical intimacy in that relationship because, okay, he's getting the picture, because of your natural sexual desires that you know what I'm saying? Okay, now you don't, don't run down that path just yet. Now say it again, I want to have a godly marriage, right?
I kind of want to have a godly
okay.
marriage.
Okay. No, you want to have a godly marriage.
I want to have a
yes,
godly
you
marriage.
Do. Now, and the other thing is you get involved in some online pornography for a time there, and you've been dabbling in that. Don't run away from me now. For the last couple of years, you try to convince yourself that it's not really hurting anyone, it's a private thing, no big deal. Say it again.
No big deal.
No, I want to have a godly marriage.
I want to have a godly marriage.
But take a step on that path. See, folks, we choose the path, don't we? You see what I'm saying? We could use any number of illustrations here, and we could say one thing, but the daily choices, the path we walk. Thank you, my friend. Appreciate that. Okay, go back to being married to Darcy and your two lovely kids, all right? Here's how life kind of works. We choose the path, and then the path chooses the destination. We could put it that way. We can say whatever, but it's the path we really choose, right? We choose the path chooses the destination. Another way of framing it is this. Let's say you drive east on Maple Rapids Road out here, and you want to go to St. John's, but you get over there to the Emerald, lovely place, and you turn left. You turn north onto 127 North. That's your chosen way. Now remember, where did you say you're going? St. John's. Well, guess what? Mackinac City. You're saying St. John's, but you can talk about wanting to go to St. John's all you want, but you're going to make it to Ithaca. You're going to make it to Mount Pleasant or Clare, but you're not going to St. John's. Not on 127 North, you're not. So in spite of your words, we choose not the destination, but the path. It's just so simple. We choose the path chooses the destination. So we may say that we're on the right path, but what we do really determines where we're heading. And this principle leads to the next. What's the first principle? Read it with me off your outline. Your words do not determine your destination. Your walk does. The second principle coming right out of that is this. Now, remember, we talked about Proverbs as these are generally true statements. So when I say always here, keep that in mind. But I'm going to use the word always. The path always leads to the same destination. This is just common sense. We see this all the time with people. We watch choices that they make in their daily lives, and we know where they're heading. we know the destination. They may try to convince themselves of a preferred destination. Here's where I want to go with my life. But it's the path they choose every day that leads to the same place, not the place they're speaking about. I used to have students in Ohio. I would watch, they're in my class, I'd watch how hard they're working, how much they're cheating, and their attitude. And then I'd ask them, hey, what do you want to do with your life? You know what they'd say, some of them? I want to be a doctor. I'm going to be a medical doctor. And I'm going, okay. Isn't happening. You're not on that path. You're not on that path. We see people play around with marijuana, for example, and act surprised when they have a problem later on with harder drugs. Now, that's not in every case. But in many, many cases. Or we see people that hang out with a given set of friends, if you want to call it that. They spend time with them at their house, running around with them, and then wonder how they got involved in the same activities that their friends were involved in. You know, it's because of the path. Paths lead places. The path always leads to a given destination. If you hang around with fools, and fools do foolish things, and you do foolish things with them, and then you're surprised when you get a fool's reward? How did I end up here? I didn't see this coming, really. When you choose a path, that path leads to the same destination. And remember, first point, your words don't determine your destination. What you do determines your destination, because what you do is the path you're walking on. You know, when I first moved up here, I started to hunt. I never hunted in Ohio, should have, but I never did, wasn't interested in it. But my nephew Ryan, he was always all about that growing up, and he had a stand up in Roy's Woods, and he took me out there. And it wasn't hard to find, showed me where it was, climbed up in there, it was cool. And I figured, yeah, I can find that easily. So I had my bow one morning. It's pitch black, 5:45. You see where this is heading, don't you? You see what path I'm going down, what I'm putting down right now. I chose the path that morning leading into the woods on the east side. And then I chose that small path that led over the ridge where the stand was located. But guess what? That small path I chose was the wrong small path. And before long, I had no absolute idea where in the world I was at in those woods. What I do remember is that small path led me to this forked tree. There was a tree right behind me because I was trying to mark places where I had been. I'm wandering around in the woods. I had no idea what east from west, north from south. It's a terrible feeling because I like to know that that's north, that's west, that's east, that's south. It always floors me when I run into people that have no sense of where they're oriented on the planet. You know, I'll say, yeah, you got to head north. I don't know what direction. You know, it just floors me because I like to know which way that I'm facing west right now. I just feel better about that, you know. So anyway, I'm standing by this tree trying to figure things out in the pitch black, scared to death, by the way. It's my first time in the woods in the pitch black. You know, I'm wandering around in there. I had my flashlight, and I'm standing by this tree like this. You know, I can't see anything. But I had my flashlight. I remember glancing down, and the light of my flashlight was on this big chunk of shwami. It's about the size of, you're saying, what's shwami, right? Shwami is a fall fungus. Okay, it's a mushroom. There's a picture of one. Hen's nest or hen of the woods is a common name up here. We called it shwami in Ohio. I have no idea why, but so that was cool. So I think, okay, forked tree, I got this. I went off, wandered around, eventually found my stand, and that hunt was a disaster. But I determined in my mind, I'm coming back for that, because I like shwami. If you like morels, how many of you like morels? If you like morels, you'll love shwami, because it's got a different texture. It's a little more chewy, you know, that chewy, mushroomy. Oh, it's really good. Really, really good stuff. It's my favorite. So I'm coming back. Well, needless to say, The hunt was a disaster, but I came back later to get that Swami, and guess what? I couldn't find that either. I mean, it's in broad daylight now. I couldn't find it for anything. I came back in broad daylight. I chose the wrong path. I missed the destination of the deer stand, and later, because I chose the wrong path again, I missed the destination of the Swami, too. And that forked tree that looks, I mean, I like tried to memorize the shape of that tree because it was right by the... I couldn't find that in broad daylight. I had no idea in the woods where I was. What are the principles of the path? Number one, your words do not determine your destination, your walk does. And number two, the path always leads to the same destination. So if you pick the path characteristic of an ungodly marriage, in spite of what you say, that path will lead to an ungodly marriage. What we need to do next in this series is finish those principles that I want to give, because there's a few really more good ones from Proverbs. And then I want to talk about how to change paths. How to change paths in order to change destinations. But we're going to have to save that for next time. Okay? So we'll do that next week. Would you pray with me? Father God, I thank you for the wisdom of your word. And I always have loved Proverbs, the passion of this man to communicate to his sons, his great desire to keep them on paths that lead to truth rather than to deception and to destruction. And yet, Lord, we see even in this man, when Solomon wrote Proverbs, he was a lot younger. He had children. When we go to Ecclesiastes, we read of a lot older Solomon who went down the very paths, in many cases, that he had warned his son to avoid. And in the end, we see an old man, Solomon, saying, "This is meaningless. It's all meaningless." So, Lord, we are capable of so much deception. And even this guy that wrote these words that we cherish as truth, as general truths that we can orient our lives by, fell prey to his own foolishness, and we call him the wisest man that ever lived. So, Father, the bottom line is, apart from you, we're going to take stupid and foolish paths every time. And probably we're going to say all along the way that we're on a different path we're choosing a different destination than the one that we're walking toward. Such is the human condition, and such is our need for Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you'd open our minds and hearts to truth so that we can look at our life and say, I'm saying one thing, but what I'm doing day to day is leading not toward what I want in Christ. And I think all of us can relate to that. I know I can. And so I pray, as we hear your word and hear these principles that we're drawn from it, Lord, that you'd give us not just insight into our own lives and the paths that we're choosing, but also that you give us courage to own up to that, humility to confess it, and then the strength to change the path we're on according to your word. And we need you to do that. We can't do that on our own. We need your wisdom. We need your spirit. We need your passion and your energy to help us along that way. So, Father, put your finger right on the issues in our lives that's keeping us from representing you well in our homes, in our communities. I pray that the desire of our heart would be just to love you back, to be imitators of God, as Ephesians 5 commands us to do, and to live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us. So, Father, We are utterly dependent on you. But you are going to respond to us in your power and strength and love according to our faith. So I pray that we'd believe you enough today to act on the very issues of our lives that we need to take different paths upon. And I pray that we'd have the courage to speak to one another about that so that there is encouragement and accountability along the way. Because I know you want to change us, but I know we're all a part of that together. You use each other in this. So we're just in need of Jesus today once again. To him be the glory and honor and praise. Amen.